Khalashink for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. Preston, where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the Essen Preston Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, but you can also call me Boba Shaw, as some people like to call me. And joining me today is Lauren Bilkin, one of my favorite foodies. And when I gave her the brief, I said, no oven, no problem. So we scratched around, racked our brains, and thought of some fun and easy recipes which we love ourselves and would love to share. Welcome, Lauren. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Char. It's so lovely to be with you. So mostly I kind of no oven. There are one or two that I just had to share because they're just so special. I mean, yes. I can't start with the dessert because that seems a bit odd, but I have got the most delicious lotus biscuits made with apple and lotus spread that I found for Rosh Hashanah, and I've been making them ever since. But we'll come to dessert afterwards, maybe.
Okay.
We start at the beginning with the soup and the salad.
Well, the weather is certainly a lot better and it's getting a lot warmer. In fact, my grandchildren were swimming yesterday. And, you know, when the weather starts to get warm, we start to feed ourselves lighter meals, not so hot, not curries and stews and things like that, but rather, as I've become an addict to, poke bowls. I've been making these poke bowls, and thank goodness the family love them. And I've discovered one this week. I think I'm going to share this with you. Okay, so all I got was 2-minute noodles, cooked them as it said on the packet, and you actually eat this cold. So let the noodles get cold. I shredded up some chicken that I had left over. You can, of course, use beef, steak. You can use salmon if you want to. You can use eggs if you don't eat fish. Okay, and then what I did was 1 cup of shredded red or white cabbage, or you can use Chinese cabbage, 1 handful of shredded carrots, okay, or you can grate them on the larger hole of your grater, julienne-style cucumbers, some edamame beans, baby corn, sprinkled some sesame seeds on top, and I roasted some nuts as well.
Delicious.
And then the sauce is actually like a creamy sort of peanut butter sauce, which was quarter of a cup of soy sauce, quarter of a cup of rice vinegar, 3 tablespoons of peanut butter, 1 tablespoon of fresh chopped ginger, 2 teaspoons of honey. Actually, I added a little bit more honey. I don't know, we just
or
like
syrup,
things.
Maybe.
Syrup,
even syrup, honey.
Yeah, or you can even use the date syrup, which I love so much.
Yes.
And sesame oil. I had about 2 tablespoons of sesame oil and a little bit more oil, you know, regular vegetable oil, about 1/4 cup of that. 2 cloves of garlic, minced. And then I just shook the whole lot in a jar.
And it's actually really nice to make double, Shaw, because I made that dressing, in fact, today.
Yes.
And I made my daughter the most delicious chicken salad. So I took some bulgur wheat, which I cooked.
Yes.
I then put my salad, my crunchy lettuce, the shredded cucumbers, the carrots, some snap peas shredded. You know, it's nice, I think, if you're doing like an oriental, to kind of do oriental cutting when you're cutting it.
Correct.
The carrots at an angle, to cut the cucumber at an angle. And then I put some grilled chicken thighs on top,
right,
with some nuts and some sesame seeds, and she had the most beautiful lunch.
Yeah,
and in fact, the most beautiful Saturday Shabbos lunch almost, I think, it could, you know, when the weather's getting warmer.
Yes, it is. It's always nice to have salads and Shabbos, a variety.
You know, when everybody's on holiday and we're heading for December, we don't want to be in the kitchen all day. We want, you know, a satisfying meal, but not these plates and plates of food that we just spend our whole lives preparing.
Exactly. And another thing that I enjoy, or my husband enjoys, is peppered mackerel. So what I did with the peppered mackerel, I mean, you can also make it a smoked salmon salad if you want to.
Yes, or a peppered salmon salad, same thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I just got about 250 grams of it and tore it into little pieces. Bag of watercress. I love watercress.
And you know how good it is for you?
Yeah, I believe
so. It's very, very good for you.
Good. So a bag of, I think it was about 100 grams, And I got raw beetroot and I grated it. You can, I think you can get
you can get the ready, that is kosher, the one from Woolworths, yes? Or anywhere, I guess.
And a bag of honey roasted mixed nuts. I love that. Crush them all up. Then I just, and a small red onion.
Yes.
Put that over. But the only thing that I added was some chili to that one.
Because it goes well with that.
It just goes well with the chili. And I had just a little bit of vinegar, a pinch of sugar, and some olive oil. And just mixed it all together.
Sounds
delicious.
And
it was a light, simple meal.
And so I've also got a plate that I've been making. So I made this one a lot over Yom Tovim for Sukkot, for Rosh Hashanah. And I actually took it from Vera Newman's new book, Marble Spoon, my version of. It's a charred corn salad with honey barbecue chicken. And what I found is that you can actually use this barbecue marinade on any chicken piece. And what you do is you take a huge, big, round platter and you put everything onto this platter. And, you know, if it's December or you're on holiday, you can even use a big tinfoil and you're not left with a whole lot of washing up to do. And the chicken you do on the braai. So it's really pretty simple. Two hearts of lettuce or the greens of your choice. A tin of millies, you know, drained, the corn. 2 cups of shredded green cabbage. She calls them Persian cucumbers. We call them Mediterranean. Mediterranean
all these
cucumbers.
Ones.
Yes, halved lengthwise and sliced. 1 or 2 avos diced. A small shallot, thinly sliced.
Oh, you can get them now at kosher.
You can get them.
And Woolworths, I saw that.
Yes,
they
and
had.
I must tell you something interesting. Let me finish this and I'm actually going to tell you because I was reading that you should really marinate the shallot and the onion in your dressing a bit before because that apparently cooks it and takes away the sharpness out of the salad. Very interesting.
Okay.
I've never done that and purportedly made a huge difference. Anyway, 2 cups of tortilla chips, lightly crushed, and 1/4 cup of fresh parsley. Here is how you do the chicken. You use 4 chicken thighs, skinless, cut into 6 pieces, 2/3 of a cup of barbecue sauce, 1 tablespoon of oil, 1 tablespoon of honey, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/4 teaspoon of sea salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. And then this dressing you make with 1/2 cup of mayonnaise, 2 tablespoons of almond milk, 1 tablespoon of lemon juice, 1 teaspoon of sea salt, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, about 1 teaspoon of parsley chopped, 1 teaspoon of dill chopped up, 1/4 teaspoon of onion powder, and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper. And literally what you do is you just take your huge big platter, fry your chicken thighs, add them on a skewer, which just makes life a whole lot easier. And you arrange it on your platter, you know, the millies and the tortilla chips on one side and the cabbage in the middle, which also I was listening to you on Sunday, interestingly enough, and you said it's so nice to do a salad board where everybody takes what they like.
Exactly. I found that my salads lately could be on the boring side because I'm just so, this one doesn't eat tomato and that one doesn't eat avo and this is just squishy and this one likes grilled pears and that one. So as you say, I just put them in lines and they can actually take whatever they want.
Just makes life a whole lot easier for a whole lot of other people. And besides, it looks spectacular. It looks absolutely beautiful on a big platter.
But now talking about the chicken salad. I tried to interview Vera and I've been battling to get her to come on air because I believe she has the most incredible recipes in her new book.
The most beautiful recipes. I'm slowly working my way through. You were talking also about the corn ribs.
Yes.
I've been making the corn ribs. In fact, my family's now had corn ribs every single possible opportunity and you can buy them ready now.
Yes.
At Fresh Fellows, and I think even at Woolworths, they've got the ready corn ribs.
Already.
It's a 2-second exercise. So you go to the shops and you buy the corn ribs and then you're going to make a marinade with 1/4 cup of lemon flavored olive oil, or I just use normal olive oil, the juice of a lime, 2 teaspoons of sea salt, 1/4 teaspoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of paprika, 1/2 teaspoon of lemon pepper, 1/4 teaspoon of cumin, 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, and 1/8 teaspoon of cayenne. And you marinate the corn ribs in this marinade. I just do it about half an hour, 45 minutes before. Mm-hmm. You stick them in the oven. For Shabbos, I did it before. It didn't matter if they were room temperature. And then you make a lamb garlic butter, which I found with vegan butter. You know, you kept telling me about vegan butter, and now I've discovered it. So clever.
I know. Sometimes I think, you know, it's the same as cod and all this. But there is something when baking with that vegan butter. It just tastes.
Yes, it's better than margarine, 100%. But
okay,
then
we're going to go to an ad break.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fressen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie and I'm chatting with Lauren Bulkin. And we are chatting
corn ribs.
Warmer weather, corn ribs, and salads, and just lighter food, healthier versions. I find it so hard to go healthy. I really do.
I also find it hard.
How about everybody gets and walks away from the table starving?
I know.
I made a lovely salad and some baked potato, and I put tuna in it and mushed it all up. And I said, right, we are eating healthy. About half an hour later, Ian says, I feel like an ice cream.
That's the whole point. I think it's a mindset, Char.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've got to almost train ourselves not to let our heads go that way.
It's hard. But carry on with the corn ribs.
So I'm carrying on with my corn ribs. So my story is I marinate my corn ribs. You cook them in the oven. When they kind of charred, you take them out and you put on this lime garlic butter, which is 4 tablespoons of vegan butter, juice of a lime, 3 garlic cloves, teaspoon of sea salt, and 1/4 cup of fresh parsley. And when they come out of the oven, you just pour on this melted butter lime sauce, which I proceeded to burn on Friday night, and I served it without, and it was delicious without it.
Okay.
So you don't feel like doing it, don't do it. It's absolutely fine.
And we made
fine.
Plenty of mistakes in the kitchen.
Yes, and you know, it's how to navigate the mistakes.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what? Sometimes from mistakes come the most incredible
masterpieces.
Yeah, really. Anyway, so now we were talking a little bit about chicken salads, and another one that I made, especially now because mangoes are out. This is the vermicelli rice noodles. It's a chicken salad with these. That's the very thin ones. I suppose you could also use a 2-minute noodle. There's nothing wrong with it. The juice of 2 limes, 1 tablespoon of soy sauce, 2 tablespoons of honey, sesame oil, 2 tablespoons as well, leftover shredded chicken, ripe mangoes, fresh coriander, some chilies chopped up. I mean, you can, what I like to do is get fresh chilies and I just boil them up with some, in some olive oil, and then I blitz it all together. So I've always got chili sauce.
A bit of chili oil.
A bit of chili oil, a bit of chili sauce. And yeah, just marinated in this, all those wonderful flavors, the honey, the sesame oil.
It's delicious.
And served over the vermicelli noodles.
Absolutely.
But
delicious.
They were still hungry after.
Have you noticed, you know those wraps, they're those transparent Vietnamese wraps?
Yes, yes.
Have you noticed them on Instagram? They've popped up
everywhere. I agree. And I thought to myself, you know, I always used to fry it afterwards, yes, or put it in the air fryer. Here they take them, dip it in water, take it out and roll it up, and you eat it like that, dipped into soy sauce or sweet chili sauce.
With your peanut dressing.
With the peanut
delicious
dressing.
With your peanut dressing. Yeah. So what I did is I took one,
right,
I put it into a pan with a tiny little bit of sunflower oil. It crisped up like, you know, like those chipniks that we used to get, but literally tasted like the chipniks. And then in the middle I put my fried egg. Don't understand, Char, how delicious it was. And then you could take your chili oil with a little bit of crushed peanuts on top.
Yeah, talking about oil, I mean, I'm busy doing the Hanukkah edition now for Jewish life. And all of a sudden, like, yeah, I'm trying to be healthy, and now it's season of oil.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to fry everything.
Yes.
And I found that, I mean, I took laffa and I cut it into 4.
Yes.
And you fry them and they just like blossom into these beautiful,
completely delicious.
They're so light and so delicious that you can't believe they're fried in oil. But anyway, and just served it with mince and avocado on top. And it's just different.
So nice. That's,
you know,
the problem.
You can actually get the mini tortillas.
Yes.
And you get them from Pick and Pay.
Okay.
And what I did was I fried those and they puffed up and I served chopped liver on top of them.
Wow. How delicious.
And it was just, instead of a sweet kichel, it was nice to have it on a savory piece of crunchy something.
Because I actually came with my tortilla recipe because I've got a tortilla soup. So yes. I actually make my own tortillas, which is a 2-second exercise.
Oh, please tell me.
Somehow I find sometimes the bought ones have a little bit of a plastic taste. Do you
the ones it? That are already like they sit on the shelves for ages.
Yes.
That's why I always use the friends. Yes. They're much nicer.
But it's almost quicker to make your own, because I make them for my tacos, which I'll also give you the recipe. It's almost quicker to make your own than to get in the car and go to the shops. It's really a 2-second exercise. And for pareve, yes. I use, what's that stuff called? It comes in a little white container, not wholesome. Wholesome.
Yes.
So for pareve, I use wholesome. And for milk, I use butter.
I use the wholesome when I make chicken fat. I make schmaltz.
Okay.
I put a wholesome in with the schmaltz.
So tell me what you do.
I just get a lot of skin.
Yes.
Chicken skin. And I fry that with grated carrots, and the wholesome crisps up beautifully. And
so
then
it's like
I strain
it.
Yeah, like exactly.
And do you eat the grip? I can't help it. Don't you? I do. Well, that's why I look like I look. But I can't help it. They are the yummiest. Ever.
And I must admit, I did keep some once, and I put them onto a chicken salad, and nobody knew what it was. And
but then it takes it next level.
They were delicious. And then everybody said, the crispiness on top, Shaw, what was it? I said, don't worry too much.
I think I did a chicken, chopped liver with the grievousness for the Jewish Reporter, I think a couple of years back.
Yes.
It was very delicious. My Zayda used to eat them. Every Saturday, he used to sit and slowly eat his gribbiness.
You know about they used to do it like on a Friday afternoon. I remember my mother-in-law saying she used to come home and her mother had made gribbiness, and they used to sit. And before Shabbos, they used to grab a challah and they used to sit and dunk it in and eat the gribbiness and the schmaltz.
And they didn't die of heart attacks. They didn't.
No.
Or did they? And we were delusional.
Other things, horrible things.
<Yeah. laughs> Let me give you my tortilla recipe. I actually halve this if it's just for my family.
Right.
So you need 2 teaspoons of salt and 1 cup of hot water, and you're going to dissolve the salt in the hot water.
Right.
3.5 cups.
Are you talking boiling water?
Boiling water. I use boiling water.
Okay.
3.5 cups of white flour, 125 grams of butter or wholesome, and 1/2 teaspoon of baking powder. And literally you put it all in your machine with a dough hook.
Yes.
Until it comes into a nice ball. You wrap the ball in some glad wrap and you leave it to sit about 1 hour.
Yes.
And then you divide it. I divide into about 40 gram balls.
Okay.
And I cover it with a dishcloth.
Uh-huh.
And then my family loves to do it. They press it with a tortilla press. We've got a tortilla press.
Lovely. So you don't have to sit and roll it.
You don't roll it also. Yes. And it's so nice because they become part of the meal.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter will make the tortillas and my husband will cook the tortillas.
So how do you cook them then?
In a flat griddle pan.
Yeah.
Okay. So you put them on when the...
You don't have to put oil on.
No oil.
Okay.
When it starts, because there's so much butter and wholesome inside. And
it's very much like roti.
Exactly like roti.
Yeah, because you also got to use that boiling water.
Yes, exactly that. And in fact, today what I did is I went to my freezer. I had one in the freezer because they freeze beautifully.
Yes.
And I made myself a scrambled egg for breakfast with a little bit of Napolitana sauce inside my tortilla. Yum.
I'm going to send my husband.
Good breakfast. Really a good breakfast. So I take these tortillas and I actually make a tortilla soup with it, which is more of a light summer soup.
Okay.
Have we got time to talk about it before
Let's
talk about soups. Jumping all over the place, but let's talk about soups. So you need 6 tortillas. 6 tablespoons of olive oil.
Now, if you don't, I just got to interrupt. If you don't feel like making tortillas, then you get the luffa from friends. They're great.
Exactly that. Exactly. About 2 cloves of garlic, 2 cups of onion finely chopped, which I certainly don't do. I just take 2 onions and chop them.
Mm.
1.5 teaspoons of ground cumin, 1 teaspoon of coriander, 1/2 teaspoon of cayenne, which is optional, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 tin of chopped tomatoes, 8 cups of chicken stock, and 1 package of frozen mealies. I seem to be focusing a lot on these millies today.
I know.
Yeah, me and the millies. Okay, and what you do is you cut your tortillas into wide strips. I'd say about 2 centimeter strips.
Right.
And you cook them in 4 tablespoons of oil until lightly brown and crispy. And you put them aside on a paper towel. In your pot, you heat the remaining olive oil and you cook your onions and your garlic until it's soft and transparent. You add your cumin, coriander, cayenne, your salt, your tomatoes, and 1/3 of the strips of tortilla because you're going to keep the others for garnish.
Right.
You add your broth and you cook it for 25 minutes, add your corn, and then you serve it with your tortilla chips. And you can make beautiful condiments to go with that.
Right. You know, now, your broth, does it have to be a chicken broth or a pair of chicken broth or vegetable broth? What can we use?
I use chicken stock.
Right.
I've had to use the imana because it's the only one that doesn't have garlic. My daughter's now allergic to garlic.
Oh, gosh.
So, but imana doesn't have garlic.
Okay.
But you could use either parmesan, you could use thelma, whatever you know you happen to have.
What seems easy enough to do.
So easy and so delicious.
And I would probably decorate it because it sounds quite Mexican.
Definitely.
Guacamole and the herbs on top and coriander.
How gorgeous is that going to look?
You can make a nice soup.
You can make a nice soup with beautiful coloured candles on the table and coloured glasses. And
very Mexican.
Very Mexican and very much summery.
Sounds like one of my Sukkot evenings.
I
made a Mexican meal.
A Sukkot evening. Yeah. Did you do a Mexican?
Did a Mexican one night. I did, what did I do? Israeli one night. We did Delhi one night. It was fun.
It's such fun and I think it's...
Okay.
Come back to it.
We'll come back to that, okay?
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fresen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, and today with me is Lauren Bulkin, and we are just chatting food.
I mean,
and
we were meant to be talking oven-free, but we got distracted as we normally
oven
did.
Free.
Yeah, it is kind of.
All
yeah.
oven-free so far. And... we're just sharing all the things that we like to serve, what we have been serving over the Yom Tovim, and any other recipes that have come to mind that we just love sharing and creating.
And I think it's also nice, Shai, like you were excited about your Mexican table and your Israeli table. And when you're passionate about your cooking and you want to do it and you're excited to do it, you can taste it in the food.
Absolutely.
You know, if I'm not in the mood, then I actually do not cook because I can guarantee my food's going to be horrible. You've got to actually want, you know, you've got to be in the mood to do it.
Exactly.
And make things that inspire you and excite you.
Yeah, definitely. So something that has inspired me this week is a pea salad. Now, person thinks of pea salad, they think of like defrosted peas or peas in a tin and some mayonnaise and I don't know, whatever. But this was really fresh and just delicious. Okay, just 500 grams of frozen peas, defrosted, 100 grams of sugar snap peas, a cup of finely sliced fennel, 1 onion also cut in half and finely sliced, some blanched asparagus. Still want them to be crispy. Mm. 1 large avo sliced. 3 tablespoons of freshly chopped mint. And 3 tablespoons of freshly chopped Italian parsley. So it was a really green, fresh salad. And the salad dressing was 1/3 cup of lemon juice. 1/3 cup of honey. I need a little bit more. As I say, we like sweet things. You can use agave syrup if you want to. 1/3 cup of oil and 1 teaspoon of salt. And I just shook it in the jar. If you want to, you can add a chili chopped up. Seeds removed, chopped up, and just gives it a little bit more of a
kick.
Kick.
Yes.
Exactly.
Delicious. Sounds wonderful.
So that was easy enough to do. And then another salad was so easy and so simple to do. It was just red cabbage, radish, beetroot, and apple slaw.
Mm.
But the sweetness of the apples. Okay, so I used the pink lady, nice and crispy. I took about 500 grams of shredded red cabbage. You can get them already checked and done for you. One large grated beetroot on the large hole. Okay, raw beetroot. If you want to use cooked beetroot, you can. I just like the crunch of the raw beetroot. And then I did 3 or 4 grated radishes, also on the whole, the big, large hole. And as I say, the Pink Lady apple, sliced that all up. And then I cheated a little bit. I just used Bourbouchard salad dressing. It's just the easiest one to use.
But there's no reason why not.
And that was it. And it was perfect. And everybody loved it. The crunch on top. The crunch not only came from the lovely vegetables in it, but I also put what they call the not the the cubes, bread cubes, croutons.
Yes,
croutons. I crushed the croutons up a little bit, and I threw them over.
That's very nice.
Yeah,
you know what? It's nice. What I have to do is I make a big batch of croutons, and I just keep them in my freezer.
Do you keep them? Otherwise you get that like oily taste if you leave it too long.
So I take olive oil and I take some onion soup, which I actually haven't been able to find. Have you seen onion soup in the shops?
Well, I just use their mana.
Okay,
onion soup.
I thought of that one.
Yeah.
I mix some olive oil, some onion soup, and I brush some health bread with the mixture, and I bake it in the oven, and then. Well, I cut it obviously before I bake it in the oven, and then I just bake them for about an hour in the oven, turning them every now and again.
Low and slow.
Low and slow. I think I did 160. I'm just doing this off the cuff.
Yes.
And I've got a big bag in my freezer. And you can't believe how it like elevates a salad.
Yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, there's more something interesting in the salad.
Sounds lovely. Yeah. Now, I actually made a very easy soup yesterday. That you could, a vichyssoise, so you can actually serve it cold.
Yes.
All I did was I threw into a pot, I must admit, I fried the onions. I threw cauliflower rice, about 1 kilo of potatoes, and all I added was chicken stock powder, salt and pepper, leeks, covered it with water, let it boil for a good hour. Blended it all together, either in the liquidizer or with a hand blender, and threw some croutons on top, and there was a beautiful salad, beautiful soup. You can serve it cold. You could also drizzle a little bit of olive oil, put some herbs on top, a little bit of, you know, I love those little... The little mini herbs, you can get them. The shoots, roots and shoots.
Yes, and the microgreens.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that.
I think it makes it look ever so sophisticated.
It does. Yes. A simple potato soup and to another level.
And all of a sudden it looks very grand.
Yeah. Okay, so what else have we got to share?
So you were talking about beetroot. So I can give another one of Vera Newman's recipes.
Yes.
Which I've made and is also delicious. So it's a bag of lettuce, an avo chopped. She says 1/2 can of sliced beetroot, but I did the same. I just roasted some beetroot and sliced it.
Right.
I think it's good to remember, though, when you're slicing beetroot, to put on some gloves.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was red all over.
Yeah, otherwise you just wash your hands in a little jick.
In jick?
Jick. It'll take care
of it. Oh, now you tell me.
Yeah, but don't splash it on your clothes.
I was very red.
I did that once over your tip. I just had my nails done. I was all ready and excited. And I used turmeric. And my nails were white and they went yellow.
Mm.
Just put on a little bit of jick and they were white again.
I'm a klutz, though. See me spilling the jick on my clothes, on the apron, on the...
Just
put on gloves.
Try next time.
I'm going to definitely try. Okay, so we were up to the lettuce, the avo, the beetroot, 3/4 cup of pomegranate seeds, 3/4 cup of dried cranberries, and 2/3 cup of those candied nuts that you were talking about.
Ah, yes, you can get them now all crushed. Lovely.
All crushed and ready.
Already crushed already. Get them from Fresh Fillers and they're wonderful.
They are wonderful.
So easy. Just throw them.
And I actually buying them on mass because, as I said, you just hoi them on something and you've got something beautiful from nothing. And then you roast 2 sweet potatoes and cube them. Then I took 1 cup of quinoa. I cooked the cup of quinoa and I made a balsamic tahini dressing. So the dressing is 3 tablespoons of balsamic, 2 tablespoons of tahini, 2 tablespoons of maple syrup, 1 tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon of garlic powder, which I left out because of my daughter.
Right.
And it was the most delicious dressing. And I think it's just even nice on a normal green salad, don't you think?
I think so. So sounds wonderful, very nice.
Dressing.
Now, what happens to your daughter when she has an allergic reaction?
She just gets a really, really sore stomach.
Really?
And then we figured it's the garlic.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Very interesting. Because why would you work that out?
She's not having garlic bread.
No, it's not bread because she doesn't eat bread.
No, she doesn't eat bread.
No. So it was the garlic. But it's the most wonderful dressing because what I've discovered is salads need a bit of everything. They need a crunch.
Correct.
They need something sweet. You know, like the candied nut or a, what are those bars called that you used to get with the nuts and peanut brittle.
Yes, and you get lovely ones.
Yes.
And a variety at Woolworths. You know, just as you're about to pay, you know, when you start looking around, do I need any of this?
I know.
I think it's sesame and sunflower brittle, which I like to put onto salads. As you said, there's something sweet.
You need that sweetness. Yeah. You need the crunch. And you can take a basic salad, you know, and just add these few elements and you've got the most marvelous meal.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now I think, you know, we mustn't forget something very important and something very easy to make, and that is using your crock pot. Did you ever buy a crock pot?
No, I still haven't bought the crock pot.
Get that crock pot. You know, I normally have 2 or 3 going on a Friday night. I have one with I'm doing brisket. I have one for the soup, and I have one like for chollin the next day, or even rice or something cooking in it. I love my crock pots.
The fear of the unknown, I think.
It's so easy, though.
But what I did do to being distracted is a friend of mine told me to take my rack from my oven.
Right.
Turn it upside down.
Yes.
Put it on the hot tray.
Yes.
Put my scotch fillet, which I had already cooked for Shabbos, and then cover it with a blanket. It was as warm as if it had come off the bra.
Really?
It was incredible. Okay. It was juicy and warm, and this was like 2 hours
and
after.
And you covered it with tin foil?
A dishcloth.
A dishcloth.
So, it was wrapped in foil.
Foil.
And then I put a dishcloth over, but it was, I'd taken the oven rack, turned it upside down onto the hot tray.
It just takes away that.
So it wasn't flat on the, and in fact, she said to me, my friend who taught me this, put your challahs there. And the challahs were warm. It was too wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I use, like a baking, you know, baked biscuits.
A cooling rack. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
You mean the word finding. Yes. You know that thing
words.
With the nuts.
Yeah.
You were telling me about your crock pot. I want these crock pot lessons because I am going to do it.
Yeah, you really, and I mean, just for working mums to go out in the morning, get your, a curry ready, a light curry, a chicken curry, whatever curry you want to make, a lentil curry. Get all the ingredients done the night before, throw it into your crock pot. In fact, I use a cooking bag and I line the crock pot with that. And then stick it on low. And by the time you come home at 6 o'clock, you've got a beautiful curry sitting and waiting for you.
And it won't burn.
No, because first of all, the meat gives off. Okay, you can fry the meat the day before if you want to.
Yes.
Okay, the meat gives off moisture. But you are going to put moisture in. And the vegetables that are raw give off moisture as well. So you want to cover it by about 2.5, an inch.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
An inch.
An inch of water, you know, on top. And then you just play and you see, next time I think I better put a little bit more water,
yes,
or next time less water. But if you've put too much water in, just a quick trick. It's so easy. You just make a little slurry out of Mizina, corn flour and a little bit of water, about 1/2 cup, and you put it in and you'd mix it through and it will thicken up your stew.
And it won't affect the taste of
curry.
The stew.
No, it doesn't. And if you want to, it's just such a quick and easy thing. And believe you me, top chefs
I'm going to try.
Do that.
I'm
going to do it.
I must tell you, I've discovered something. I know we weren't going to talk about curries.
Yes.
But you know how you read these Indian recipes and they marinate the chicken always in yogurt?
Yes.
So I marinated mine in coconut cream. It worked like a charm. I made
and coconut cream
East chicken
and a
curry.
Little bit of lemon.
Yes.
That'll give you that. But you can get power of yogurt. You know that?
No.
Yeah, you get.
Tell me. You get I've now discovered the vegan butter, power of yogurt.
Power of yogurt, and you can get cashew nut yogurt. It's all made by Urban Vegan.
Yes.
And use that. I put that in curries.
And how does it
delicious.
Taste? It doesn't give it a funny taste.
No. Because remember, you've got all those wonderful spices. But as you say, you can use coconut.
Not the cream. Not the milk, the cream.
The cream, yes.
The cream.
And you add just a pinch of lemon to it.
Okay. And you know what else I learned about Indian cooking?
Yes.
Is that you must actually use fresh tomato, not tinned tomatoes. It affects the taste of the curry. And it did. I tried two. One with the tins, one
yes.
with the fresh, and they were different.
But the fresh are using like really red ones?
I don't think it matters because I was reading, I think her name is Chetna. She was speaking about it.
Yes.
And she says that you have to use fresh tomato in Indian cooking. It doesn't matter even if they're green, they're overripe. It takes just to another level.
That's fascinating.
So I can give you my stovetop because I knew I had to do stovetop curry. It was a 45-minute chicken curry dinner and it was outstanding. Have you got time for it?
Yes, we've got time.
Let me find it. Give me 2 seconds and I'm going to give it to you right now.
We're going to go to an ad break.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fresen. It's all about the food.
Welcome back to the Essen Fresen show. We're talking food. Between Lauren and myself, I'm Sharon Leary. We are whipping up a couple of dishes here for you to try at home. And I just wanted to share quickly. All right, you share your,
I'll share
your
my curry
quickly. And then I will share
The lady's name is Chetna Makan. She's the Indian chef that writes about the tomatoes and anyway.
Okay.
See my word finding, but I did find it eventually. So you need about 1 kilo of boneless, skinless chicken thighs, 1 cup of plain full-fat yogurt, which obviously I substituted for coconut cream, 4 garlic cloves minced, which I left out, and it was absolutely fine, about 3 centimeter piece of ginger, grated, 2 teaspoons of kosher salt, which you divide. 1 teaspoon for the curry, 1 teaspoon is going to go in the chicken, yogurt or coconut milk mix, and 2 or 3 tablespoons of sunflower oil. You're going to use 2 onions chopped, 1 teaspoon of cumin seeds, and about 2.5 cups of small diced fresh tomatoes, 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, 1.5 teaspoons of ground turmeric, 1 teaspoon of garam masala, 1 tablespoon of ground coriander, 0.5 to 1 teaspoon of cayenne, and 0.5 cup of water. And what you do is you combine your chicken thighs with the coconut cream, 0.5 the garlic, the ginger, and salt in a bowl, and you set it aside for however long you've got. I did it in the morning, but you could do it an hour before and it's still going to be fine. I wouldn't do it the night before because I think chicken disintegrates quite quickly if it's left too long in a marinade.
Correct.
And then in a heavy pan, you heat your oil, you cook your onions and your cumin seeds for about 5 minutes. You add your ginger and garlic. Then you add your salt, your turmeric, your garam masala, your coriander, your cayenne, and you cook for another 2 minutes. You add the tomatoes, the tomato paste, the chicken, and you add the water, and you just cook for 30 minutes. And there was the most outstanding, mess-free, on the stovetop chicken curry.
There you go. We didn't need an oven. Now we're going to quickly go to the French cheesecake, where we're essentially cutting every single complicated step. The only secret to this cheesecake is that you have to beat your cream. And it must be a nice, heavy, double cream, and you beat it until it's firm. Don't overbeat it because you will get butter. Anyway, so now what we do is we take one and a quarter cup. So it's about 300 mils. So it's just a little bit more than the 250 mils that we can get. And we whip it up. Set it aside. Then you'll need three full fat. None of this diet stuff, please. Full fat cream cheese, softened to room temperature. Because those bricks, I like Philadelphia.
Yes.
Those bricks have to be room temperature or even put out in the sun a little bit to get soft. You can put in the microwave for a minute.
But the cheesecake splits. I think it actually cracks if you don't have room temperature cheese.
No? Yeah, you've got to you must
have room. It has to be room temperature.
And then the cream cheese, okay, as I said, you've got to make sure it's three bricks. And I tested the cheesecake with regular cream, and sour cream. Don't use as much sour cream as you would normally use in a cheesecake. You know, we normally use, about 250 mils.
I think a pint of sour cream.
Yeah.
And I mix it with fresh cream. Why do we put sour cream? I've got no idea, but I also do.
I think it's just that cheesecakey taste.
Yeah.
And then you need half a cup of white sugar. This helps actually to break down the cream cheese, make it smoother and just a little lighter. And 2 tablespoons of icing sugar.
Interesting.
Confectioner's sugar, as they, if you're listening overseas. Okay, and icing sugar helps to thicken the filling. Okay, because while also it also keeps it light as well. And I tested this once. I used custard powder instead of the icing sugar.
Same thing.
I thought,
No.
There was like a chalky taste to it.
Okay.
Okay, then, as I said, you want a little bit of sour cream, but just like a quarter of a cup, not as much as we normally use in a baked one. Also at room temperature, 2 teaspoons of lemon juice and a teaspoon of vanilla extract, vanilla essence. And then you make the crust with nutty crusts. Or what you can do, which I've done before, is use the finger biscuits. Now, boudoir apparently are not kosher at the moment. So
but there were kosher ones at Kosher World.
Yes, you can get them. The Italian ones are also, I get the Italian ones, they're also kosher. Boy, oh boy, to get them to answer me initially as to what was kosher and what wasn't, I finally got the certificate. Anyway.
And did they send it to you?
They sent it to me, yeah.
And you didn't pay huge import fees?
I didn't bring it. I didn't. Oh. No, you can get it here locally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you can get it here. I just sent them a picture and asked them, please send me the certificate. Which
You're
I
genius.
Did.
So they're kosher.
They're kosher.
Oh, please send
Italian.
Me the name.
I've forgotten the name. Can you believe it? Anyway, so either you can do it with the finger biscuits or you can do it with, and what I like about these Italian finger biscuits is that they absorb quickly. So you actually can't make tiramisu with them because they just like break. So you've got to like dip it in and out in a second. And or you, as I say, you can use a nutty crust or Mori biscuits with 125 grams of melted butter. And then you press it into your springform tin, which is about 22 centimeters. And you crush the nutty crusts up and then you crush them into the, I wish you could see my hands.
I mean, her hands are waving all over the place. She's going, crush the nutty crust, and her hands are going
crush
up and
down. Crush the nutty crust and take a glass and you spread it at the bottom of the springform tin. Okay, and stick it in the freezer for about 10, 15 minutes. Okay, and while it's in the freezer, then you use your hand mixer or your sand mixer, whatever you want to use, and you can use your paddle attachment or your K attachment. And then what you do is you put all the ingredients, everything into the, except the cream. Don't put the cream in. The cream you have to fold in at the end after you've mixed all the cheese together and the lemon and the sugar and the icing sugar and everything must all mix together in the bowl and must be smooth. Make sure it's smooth, otherwise beat it a little bit more.
Yes.
Okay. I have actually had to put it through a sieve once.
Okay,
because obviously I didn't melt the cream cheese wasn't as soft as it should be. And then afterwards you fold in the cream, fold it in well, and stick it in the fridge. and sounds just yum. Leave it for it. I always leave it overnight. And somebody asked me quite a long time ago, if you need to make this fridge cheesecake and you need it like for in a month's time and you want to make it now, what I would do is put it in the fridge, let it set, wrap it well with tin foil and glad wrap, stick it in the freezer. Then 2 days before you need it,
defrost it
in the fridge.
Okay.
Even 2 days. I haven't tried that yes. freezing method because I just make it.
Cheesecakes freeze beautifully. They freeze really well. The cooked ones. That's exactly. This one hasn't got eggs.
No eggs.
Wonderful.
And just take a knife and you slice through it. And as I say, you can either do layers of the boudoir finger biscuits and the cream cheese, or you can just put a base.
Sounds too
wonderful. A nutty crust base. It's easy and it sets beautifully. I think the lemon helps it to set as well.
Sounds absolutely delicious.
And the cream cheese gets lovely and hard. And that's our cream cheese. So now, let's get on to the lotus.
Are we doing my lotus biscuits? Yes. I've got to find my lotus biscuits. But seriously, they are delicious. I haven't mastered cutting them without them cracking. You know how they kind of crack on top?
Yes.
I haven't mastered that, but they're so delicious, it doesn't matter. And my kids have been eating them out the freezer, literally. Even with this frozen apple that you bite through. You know when you bite through the apple and it tastes like ice? It's delicious.
It takes a few seconds to actually my kids also eat a lot of biscuits.
Out your freezer.
Out the freezer. They love that crunch, extra crunch.
There's something about that.
Yes.
So the dough is two large eggs, 3/4 cup of white sugar, 1/4 cup of brown sugar, 1/2 cup of sunflower oil, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 tablespoon of non-dairy milk. So for that, I actually used the soya milk because I didn't want that almond taste, you know, of the almond milk. So I used soya milk. 2.5 cups of flour, 1 tablespoon of cornstarch, 1 teaspoon of baking powder. This recipe says a pinch of cinnamon. I put way more. I put 1/2 teaspoon. I like the taste of cinnamon.
Right.
And 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Then the filling is a can of apple pie filling. I just use the, you know, those pie apples that you get, the coup pie apples. 1 cup of lotus, you know, the lotus butter that you get on the shelf next to the lotus biscuits. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
It's got a red lid.
Yes.
Lotus bread.
Yeah. What are they called?
Lotus butter, no? Lotus bread.
Yeah, we call it the caramel spread. Yes. Biscoff.
Biscoff, that's it. 6 lotus cookies crushed, or 6 lotus biscuits, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, and then some more lotus for drizzling on top of the biscuits. And you put the oven to 180. You whisk your eggs, your white sugar, your brown sugar, your oil, your vanilla, and your non-dairy milk. I mean, obviously, you could make the milk if you wanted to. You mix your dry ingredients separately, and then you combine until you've got a soft dough. She says the dough should stick to itself, not your hands. And she says add a bit more flour if necessary. Mm-hmm. I find if I do it with damp hands, it doesn't stick to my hands really, the dough. On a floured piece of baking paper, roll the dough into a rectangle. You spread the lotus over the dough. Then you spread your layer of apple filling. You sprinkle with your crushed biscuits. And these crushed biscuits actually stop the biscuits from getting soggy. You know, the whole biscuit.
Oh, okay.
It somehow That's absorbs the liquid from the apple and you get these crunchy, delicious biscuits. You roll into a log and then you cut your log into 2. You place it side by side on a lined baking sheet. And then what you do is you make slits 3/4 of the way through the biscuit. So you don't cut all the way through. And you sprinkle it with the brown sugar and you bake for 30 minutes until golden. And after about 10-15 minutes, you cut all the way through the biscuit. They are, Sharon, the most delicious biscuits.
Well, anything, I think, with the
apple, cinnamon and lotus.
Lotus biscuit. Oh, delicious.
And then you have to take the rest of the jar and throw it in the bin. From experience.
Okay. I hope we've made it a lot easier for you. It's been wonderful being with you. Thank you, Lauren, for joining
us. Thank you for having me. I had so much fun
recipes.
And I'm so inspired to go home and make
a
my poke
bowl for dinner.
Poke bowl. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Fuzzy. And thank you, Craig.